Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. It's fun to see your users popping up on here at Crowdcast, and we're up on YouTube Live. All right. This is my first ever YouTube Live on my channel. So,
Pam, well, I hope you do a better job than me.
Pam's always pushing me to do new things.
Yeah. Like you are live. Okay. Yeah. So last week we went live and we weren't really live because I didn't make it public. I totally messed it up. So Misty's the better woman.
Helps when you arrange to go second.
Yay.
Yes.
Yay. Oh. So how are you doing?
Good. Good. So, and welcome everyone to our second Homeschool Teachers Lounge. I am Misty Winkler, homeschool mom of five, although I'm really only homeschooling three. I have a graduate who is starting his bachelor's degree this week. This is going to be his first week of classes. And then my junior in high school, my 16-year-old is starting at the dual enrollment at the community college. So it's kind of weird. I'm homeschooling three.
And we had our ages?
Yes. 13, 11, and 8. And last week was our first full meal deal homeschool week. So this will be fun to retrospect.
Yeah. To retrospect on that one. Oh, my goodness.
And how about you,
well, Pam? I'm Pam Barnhill, pambarnhill.com, your morning basket with Pam Barnhill, and the brand new 10 Minutes to a Better Homeschool that's starting this Friday. Three kids, 16, 14, and 11. So I have a question for you, Misty, that might be interesting. You said that your oldest is starting his bachelor's degree, but he did Running Start. So how many credits does he actually have?
Yeah, so he has the two-year degree. And he is already. And so he is doing Western Governors University, which is an online university. So it's the program's entirely online, and it was designed to be entirely online well before 2020. So they're set up to work this way. And he goes in straight into his major program as a college junior. So he's going to hit the ground running there with 300 level classes in a way.
Awesome.
They're set up a little bit different. You don't sign up for class credits. They have a path that you work through at your own speed. So we'll see how that goes this week.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Yeah. And now you had an unusual homeschool week last week.
Yes, I did. So I guess that means I'm going first. So yeah, I had a really unusual week last week in that we really only homeschooled Monday and Tuesday. And then I left and took my oldest with me. My middle one with me. John went with me. And we went to California for the final great homeschool convention of the season. And it was a lot of fun. We were worried about this one because we were afraid that it was too late in the year and that maybe the crowds would be small. But guys, those Californians, they were like, we're so happy you're here. We're just so happy that you're here. And so they were an awesome, awesome bunch of people. They were an awesome crowd. We did our Real Mom Tour event on Thursday night, and I mean, they were like heckling us and participating and kinds of stuff. So yeah, it was a really fun bunch. It was a really great way to end the conference season. So yeah, so 2 days of homeschooling last week, largely morning time. So we still have not gotten up to our full slate yet. And it won't even happen this week because we are doing our very first Just Because We Can day Wednesday, and we're going to a reptile store. So we're going to one of the largest reptile stores in our region. So we're traveling a few hours to go to the reptile store because the bearded dragon needs a bigger enclosure. And so we want to go see what they have, maybe support a small local business. And we want to just check out and see like what's available there. We're not getting any new reptiles.
I was going to say, like, are you going to come home with a reptile?
Well, we have a leopard gecko. So we have a leopard gecko and we have a bearded dragon, and they both kind of need an upgrade on their, you know, on their enclosures. And so the leopard gecko doesn't need more space, but he needs like, you know, we need to like freshen it up a little bit. Now that we know that it's like, he's staying around, and the bearded dragon, he's getting big. So he's got to have a bigger spot. So, cool. So yeah, we're doing that on Wednesday. So anyway, we're not going to be up to full speed, probably not until next week. And that's okay because we're homeschoolers.
That's right.
So, totally. So how about your week? How did it go?
It went pretty well. Surprisingly well. We did morning time every day last week. So that's a huge win. And it was right about half an hour. So I don't know, something about the different dynamic of not having any teenage boys in the mix. I don't know what exactly it was, but we just did it and everyone was on the whole time.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
You know, or everyone's just a year. I don't know. No one was in a complainy face. So it was amazing.
That's awesome. So you realize that tomorrow now.
I know, because I said something.
Because that's the way it always happens.
Not only did we do our morning time every day, but then on the new schedule, I made Latin happen right after morning time. Because we're together. Latin is one of those things that has just always been a little bit too hit and miss to actually get anywhere. And so I moved it to be the very next thing that everyone's going to do after morning time. And we moved morning time to a table. So, because we had been doing it for the last 2 years in the living room. Now right. We're back at the table and we just do Latin after morning time. And so we also did Latin every day last week and this morning. So that's huge.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So is everybody doing Latin? I mean, can it just be a morning time subject, or is everybody doing different Latin?
Well, my 13-year-old and 11-year-old are doing the same Latin. So we're doing, so it's okay. Kind of like we have our all together morning time, and then the 8-year-old goes and does something else while I do Latin with the other two.
Right. But pegging that little habit to the habit that's already there.
That's right.
Yes. So that's totally a great tip for anything. You know,
well, you froze up for me, so I don't know who's going, but I will say that last year in the schedule, I put Latin right after morning time on the schedule, but it just almost never happened that way. And the difference this year is that I moved the location of morning time so that it didn't require any movement. You know, we're just right there at the table and we can just go from one to the other without any transitions. It's really those transitional times that can kill it and just make it not happen. All right. We need Pam to reload. There we go. Yes. It really, really helps to have those times just pegged together, especially the subjects that we are tempted to procrastinate on. Let me see. I might need to re-invite Pam to the scene. Well, I guess I just have to chat. It's hard to talk though and do tech support at the same time. Okay. Well, if Pam doesn't pop on, you better watch out, Dawn, because I'll invite you on. Um Quick, put on your lipstick or Abby. Yeah, now mine's going to be the most awkward Facebook Live and homeschool planning session, the worst replay version. Anyway, yeah, you can tie a lot of subjects to your morning time, especially those subjects that you have a hard time getting in other places. Even if it's not in morning time, you can make that, you know, just tie that habit so you transition straight from morning time into that subject. It can be a big help. Oh no, she disappeared again. What happened? There we go.
I'm trying to get my video.
Well, I see you.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, it seems like there's a delay. I'm sorry. Like, I guess my internet just completely dropped out. Echoey Dawn saying, I have my AirPods in. Let me try.
Yeah, I think it's just a quality thing. I wonder if, so is it your weather over there, Pam? Is it?
How's that?
Oh, that sounds way better. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I still can't see me, but I can see you. So okay. I'm hoping everybody can see me. I have no idea. Okay. So I'm sorry. I'm having internet issues, but the weather is not that great here. We're getting some of the outer bands of Ida. So.
Well, I told Dawn or Abby that they were on the hook if you dropped out.
Totally. Totally. Okay. I'm blurry, but I'm speaking clearly. Okay. So there you go. I forgot where we were. So you were, we were talking about pegging your Latin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what do you do after morning time? After you finish morning time, is everyone just free and clear and they go work on something, or do you move from morning time into something else?
So we sing the doxology, and that is the part of the day where we pull out our list and start working on the stuff from our list. So that's just the habit that we have right there. It's like, here's the list. We pull out the list and we start it there. So everybody knows to do that. So, but it's no one specific thing. Everybody kind of chooses what they want to do.
Okay. So it's kind of like move into independent work.
Yeah. Definitely move into independent work. Now, I do have a couple of different things on the schedule this year, like audiobook lunch. We're going to take the time during lunch. And then Tuesdays is going to be financial lunch. We're going to do a little money course on Tuesdays. And then a couple of different days we have science, either right before or right after lunch. So that's going to be a little bit different because like your Latin, the science is only with a couple of kids. But I'm also working around live classes for some of my kids and math tutoring for some of my kids. And all of that happens, you know, has to happen on a schedule. So, yeah.
Sometimes having that schedule where things have to happen at certain times actually helps more things happen because you just have that urgency, that sense of pressure, and like any time is not going to work. It has to be now or never. So let's just do it.
That's exactly right. Yep. That's exactly right. Sometimes that stuff is a good thing. So yeah. All right. So we were going to talk about language arts today. What are you, what do you have to share?
Well, one of the things that I am doing with my youngest, my 8-year-old this year is, studied dictation, kind of. So, I mean, that's a Charlotte Mason term. And I tried it first with my now 13-year-old when she was about 8 or 9. I had, she's probably my weaker speller, but I had tried half-heartedly like 2 other spelling programs and it just wasn't clicking and wasn't worth the effort, I didn't think. And so I said, well, okay, the Charlotte Mason people, every time I say I'm not going to do that, I end up doing it and it ends up working. So just try this whole dictation thing.
Oh my goodness.
So I still feel like I can't quite figure out what it's supposed to be like with study dictation, but I got several years ago the Spelling Wisdom from Simply Charlotte Mason, and her materials are really straightforward. And I watch, she also has some videos on how she does studied dictation. And I just ended up doing my own thing with it. Like, okay, I can see how that works, and I'm just going to do something that feels like it'll work and it'll be something, which is better than nothing. So I'm going to worry about just doing it and not doing it the right way. And
yes.
I have the list of the different sayings. So Spelling Wisdom just has a bunch of sayings and verses and snippets of poems and, you know, just really short selections. And they kind of go, they're sorted by difficulty. So I consolidated my own list and I have it out like a loop schedule kind of, except it's never going to loop back to the top, but just a sequential list. And I read the sentence out loud the whole thing as a whole, and then say it again bit by bit on Mondays for the eight-year-old to see if she can write it out herself. And then any words that she misspells, I write down the correct way, and she corrects it on her first attempt and then practices those words two or three times. And then after she writes it out, I also say, okay, and now double check. Do you think that you've used capitalization and punctuation correctly? And she'll try, or, you know, that means check that you put a period at the end. And we have a little talk about how to do things. So, you know, our one last week had possessive it's. And so I told her the difference between it's with and without an apostrophe. And so this is kind of her first little language arts thing. So it's all in one is handwriting and spelling and grammar, just kind of as it comes up. And then she practices copying the sentence for the rest of the week. And then on Friday, I'll have her write it again. And she ought to be able to do it without any mistakes. So that's what we're doing with my eight-year-old. How about you?
Okay. You'll have to keep me posted on that one and how that one goes. Well, this is the first year we have not done nobody's doing reading lessons. And well, that may have been last year. Maybe that was last year. I think Thomas and I had just finished up the all about reading level four readers. So maybe we didn't do it last year, but last year people were doing spelling lessons. And so, you know, I'm not having anybody do spelling this year. So that's a good thing. And then I'm letting everybody take a year off of grammar as well. So we are really, really focusing on a composition this year. And okay. So one of the things we're using for Olivia, I'm using The Lively Art of Writing, which was the book that I used my senior year in high school.
Really?
And it was old when I used it. Yes, it was old when I used it. So it's really, really old now. And I didn't realize when I got the trade paperback version, like we used a different, I remember ours being bigger. So I may have to go like seek out a different version for me. Like Olivia can use this one, but I may need to like figure out a different one for me. But somebody on the Well-Trained Mind forums has made a teacher's guide to go with this and a workbook to go with this. So I printed out the workbook and the teacher's guide. And this is the book. If you say, what taught you how to be a writer? And I don't consider myself a great writer. I consider myself a very organized, efficient, like get the point across in a good way kind of writer. But, you know, I don't consider myself a writer. But this is what helped me to do most, you know, most of what I do. like being organized, efficient, and getting the point across. So I'm looking forward to using that with Olivia. This is all about essays, things like that. And then with the boys, both of the boys are doing the same. Again, this year, we're doing volume one of IEW's Following Narnia. So it's all Narnia theme-based writing, which you might think, oh, you're just going to write about Narnia the whole year, but really you're not, because they walk you through the IEW units, and like the topics are like Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle, Atlantis, Buckingham Palace. Then you get into some of the story things from the stories, the Crown Jewels of England, Diary of an Evacuee from World War II London. There's something in here about Hitler and Churchill. So it's not just about the content of the books, but also that whole kind of all of the things that it relates to as well. So, and IEW is really good for my boys. So we're happy to use that. So we're really, really focusing our time and energy on, I wonder if that was for me. We're really, really focusing our time and energy on writing this year. So, yep, Abby found it, the Lively Art of Writing Workbook Answers. So, so Misty's reconnecting. While she's reconnecting, I am going to, sometimes something's dropping out on her audio. So Colleen asked if, do you think you have to have done main IEW program to use their themed books? And you either have to have done one of two things. So I will confess that largely the way I learned the IEW system was by working through their main program with students. And so I have had the teaching writing structure and style, the teacher stuff before, but I haven't worked through it systematically from start to finish. I've just referenced it when I've needed to. But if you are not doing that, if you don't go through one of their main programs with your student, then I think you need to do teaching, writing, structure, and style if you're going to teach their program. If you're not going to be, use some of their methods to be a little bit rogue, like maybe some other people we know.
Yeah, I have my mother-in-law's teaching structure and style blue binder from the early 90s.
I had one.
Yeah. And that's how I learned. And then, like 18 years ago, homeschool mom lent me her VHS IEW training videos and had me watch that and then had me teach her kids how to write.
So there is a system to it, right? And if you're going to follow if you're going to do the themed books, it is going to be very, very helpful to know that system. But I think the system is one of the things that makes it awesome. So
yeah. Yep. And I think if you're going to go rogue with the system, having learned it first is helpful. So,
yeah, very much so.
Yeah. I was saying Lively Art of Writing. I used that last year with my high schooler.
Okay. And you liked it?
Yeah. Yeah. I used it like 10 years ago or so with a high school class when all my kids were little. I taught a high school writing class and we went through that Lively Art. It must have been because it was on, I don't know how I would have heard about it, but I think it must have been through Well Trained Mind, the forums or something.
When was this? 10 years ago?
Yeah, 10 or 12.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Okay, because Brandy used it too, but it's only been within the past few years. She used it with her oldest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I remember this book so very fondly and knew that I was going to use it. Mm-hmm. So. I think
it does a great job in teaching you how to write a thesis statement.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Yeah. Yep. All right. So that's about it for us for language arts this year. Yeah.
So this coming week, you are having a Just Because You Can Day to the Reptile Store. Yep. But then all the other days are school days. And then is next, the week after that, you're? Like, are you kind of gradually, or how are things panning
out? It's very gradual. So today was totally a day off because it's recovery day. Mm-hmm. And then, so tomorrow is morning time day because I have a hair appointment. You know, it just like, you don't, I know it was just weird because it, which was scheduled, you know, 6 weeks ago. Right. So tomorrow will probably be just a morning time day and everybody's still math tutoring. And then Thursday and Friday will be a morning time day. We will listen to audiobooks in the car on the way to the reptile store. Mm-hmm. And then of course, next Monday is Labor Day. And I'm actually having a guest. Heather Tully is going to be here. Yeah, and we're working on a project. So there will be a little bit of schooling going on, but still not up to full complete days yet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yep.
So, and so you're like first full week. So you did your first full day today, right? Or was it last
week? All last week was
okay. Full. So you're there. Week.
So we're in it. We're rolling for better or for worse.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So what are we going to talk about next Monday? I'm assuming we're going to be here next Monday. You don't take Labor Day off, do you?
No, we'll be doing school next Monday. We're meanies.
Okay. We may do some too. You know, like I said, Heather's going to be here, so we'll see. But we'll probably at least do morning time because she'll be around with her camera. So she may want to snack some pictures.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll be here too. So what are we talking about next Monday? We did language arts today. We've done morning time. Where are we going?
How about those checklists? You mentioned checklists and I use checklists. Let's talk about how we use our kids' checklists.
Okay. Sounds awesome.
All right.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for joining us, everyone. We'll hope to see you next Monday.
Sounds great. Bye.
Bye.